CBS News. I'm Jim Shenevy. It's a shutdown of West Virginia mines, a voluntary shutdown for safety reviews after two more miners died Wednesday in unrelated accidents in the Mountain State. Governor Joe Manchin.
While each mine in the state is currently scheduled to be inspected every...
Loveline.
Stand by. We're sorry to inform you that Loveline is experiencing technical difficulty right now. Please stay on the line, and a Loveline representative will be with you shortly. Your approximate wait time is...
12 hours and 3 minutes. Just kidding.
We're sorry to inform you that Loveline is experiencing technical difficulty right now. Sorry to inform you that Loveline is experiencing technical difficulty right now. Please stay on the line, and a Loveline representative will be with you shortly. Your approximate wait time is...
12 hours and 3 minutes. Just kidding.
We're sorry to inform you that Loveline is experiencing technical difficulty right now. Sorry to inform you that Loveline is experiencing technical difficulty right now. Please stay on the line, and a Loveline representative will be with you shortly. Your approximate wait time is...
12 hours and 3 minutes. Just kidding.
We're sorry to inform you that Loveline is experiencing technical difficulty right now.
Just come on Loveline, the TV show, and she was an excellent guest. And I just think she nails that character.
Yeah, no, she is a great performer.
She is the greatest trailer park chick I've ever seen on television.
And she's a hottie.
There's that, too, so... All right, and you also did, what happened with Hillary Duff? That's the other one everyone keeps talking about.
Hillary Duff, I was her driving instructor. She was told that it was her on-the-road driving lesson, and I taught her a bunch of rules of the road that were very confrontational. We gave another driver the finger. I got out and bashed the guy's headlights in with a baseball bat and told her to drive quickly.
Very funny.
The guys caught up with us, fought back, forced me out of the car, carjacked it.
Oh, my God.
It was very intense. No, she had gotten out.
Oh, my God.
But then I blamed her for giving the car away and told her that she would have to pay for it.
Oh, my God. I'm surprised people don't sue you after
she cry?
Oh, she must have.
I don't know. Some people have said that.
If that happened to me, I'd weep uncontrollably.
Yeah, well, you cry at the drop of a hat.
I'm
though.
A sensitive
I work with you.
Type.
Well, that's good. They've got you on their radar screen for a punked, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I've made a lot of friends in Hollywood before I even started. So.
And BJ is a stand-up comedian. He's got some shows coming up at the Improv. Are there dates on that?
I don't have a date right now.
Just keep your eyes peeled for that. And then you grew up in Boston. Whereabouts?
I grew up in Newton.
Which is a nice upper middle class.
Yeah, yeah. Very sort
it's where
of
all
privileged.
The Framingham studies were done, Newton Framingham. I used to have a bus. I went to college out there, and there was always a bus stop between Boston and Western Massachusetts.
Is that the study where they taught monkeys to type?
No, it's basically the one where they study people for a heart study for a long, long, long period of time. The Framingham's famous study.
Oh, okay.
And how'd you end up out here?
I came out here to write for Bob Saget's television show Raising Dad when I was 21. The only Bob Saget show not to be a hit.
Did you go to college out there?
I did. I went to Harvard.
Went to Harvard. Yeah.
Again, the privileged upbringing just keeps coming.
Keeps raining down on us.
Yeah, and then I moved out here and wrote, you know, jokes for 14-year-old girls on the WB, and my education
and
really paid
people.
Off.
It's excellent.
And started doing stand-up comedy.
That is what every Harvard graduate
and,
strives
yeah,
for.
Making Hillary Duff uncomfortable in cars.
Did you know while you were in college this is what you wanted to do, right?
Yeah, that was... Yeah. I did. I was a literature major, and I always wanted to be a writer.
And Rain?
Yes, Dr. Drew.
Where'd you grow up?
It's such an honor sitting across from
it's
you, Dr.
It's my
Drew.
Pleasure.
You know how many countless hours I've spent tooling around L.A. listening to your show. I love it.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm really, truly, I'm just so excited to be here.
Tooling around from 10 to midnight.
Wait till our...
Yeah.
Yeah, wait.
That's from my peak driving hours.
Wait till our callers get their hands on you guys.
My best driving.
Where'd you grow up?
Where'd I grow up? I grew up in Seattle, Washington.
Nice.
Yeah.
Again, you guys are leaving great towns to come down here.
What does that mean? Go Seahawks. What does that mean?
The applause?
The sound effects.
He likes Seattle. He likes cold places.
Oh, good. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Seattle, and then I went to Chicago for a while and finished high school, and then I ended up in New York City for a long time. I lived in New York for 10 years.
What'd you work as? Acting?
I went to acting school, and I worked in all manner of things. I had a moving company, and I was a temp and a caterer, and ran an insurance fraud scam.
Oh, my God.
Scam and
fascinating.
All kinds of stuff.
We'll hear more. Well, let's get to the callers and see what they've got to ring out of you guys. Gina 20, what's up?
How you doing, Dr. Drew?
Anderson, help us. Gina, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello?
There you are. Gina, what's up? You're on with the cast of The Office. It's Rainn Wilson, BJ Novak.
How you guys doing?
Good, Gina.
Real good.
I have a question. My girlfriend and I have been arguing about this for a couple of weeks now, and we brought it up in a discussion. She said that she hasn't eaten fish in over 2 years because she's totally convinced that it makes her vagina smell like fish.
Clearly, Gina went to Harvard, too. Clearly.
I recognize her voice.
Yes, clearly.
Well, she's right, and she should stay away from the seafood.
Gina, I took
Absolutely.
An oceanography class, so maybe I should handle this one.
I eat a lot of fish.
And your vagina smells fine.
My pooper smells like fish.
It's
terrible.
I'm sorry about my hoarse voice tonight. It's very... I was crying like Greg Brady.
How much does... This is your roommate or you, Gina, that doesn't eat the fish for this reason?
It's her. I mean, I don't eat seafood either, but it's not for that reason.
How much does she like fish, and how much is she concerned about this possibility?
And how bad does she smell?
Even if it were true, which I don't know if it is, what's her balance of priorities with those two things?
She is more concerned about not smelling like fish than eating seafood.
So the seafood is not a big deal for
her. So she's not like, you know, a huge seafood
fan. She's not jonesing for any scallops or anything.
No.
Okay.
All right, Gina.
I don't think that the kinds of food that you eat influence the way that your genitals smell.
I agree with Rain.
Would they have a pork rind fragrance?
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's how you'd smell, right? Pork rind?
Sorry?
Gina, the point is that it's very, very, essentially impossible. Well, it's very unusual and very difficult to make body parts or body fluids change their smell, taste, whatever. I mean, you could eat marshmallows and strawberries all day. Your poo is still going to come out like poo, okay? Right?
Okay.
And when it comes to... Okay. And when it comes to malodorous vaginal discharges or malodorous vaginal smell, that more often than not is a bacteria. And that's a vaginitis, and that is treatable with an antibiotic cream. It has nothing to do with your fish intake.
Isn't that a band, malodorous vaginal discharge?
Yes, right.
It's a heavy metal band.
They've been up here. Let's talk to Lauren, 21. Lauren?
Hi.
Hey, what's up? You're on with Rainn Wilson and BJ Novak.
Hi, guys.
Howdy.
So, I don't know if I can top that last question.
Well, there are two of you on the line there. Who else is there?
My roommate, Christy.
Christy and Lauren.
Well, Christy and Lauren.
Oh, these are friends of yours?
I don't know.
You guys...
I know a Christy and a Lauren.
BJ is either extra interested in this call and sort of aroused
we'll have
by
to
it,
wait for the call.
Or he recognized you guys. So go ahead, let's hear it.
Well, we don't know what you guys are doing for Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's a different call than what's on board.
That's very sweet. Well, Rain and I have plans, right?
That's right.
You have not told your wife yet?
Not yet.
And is she listening right now?
I hope not.
Okay. So I was thinking we would start with a drive up the coast.
That's good.
Maybe a picnic on Zuma Beach.
Malibu. Nice.
You know, there's a liquor store.
Right. Right on
Zuma.
The corner,
you know,
right. Yeah, that
I once
place.
Saw Nick Nolte
yeah,
there.
Being
no
kidding.
Joke. So
yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, I'm not promising I'll be there again. But
get a liter of Chianti.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe some Jaeger. See what happens.
Both. Right.
Right. What are you two doing on Valentine's Day?
We love Jaeger. What are we doing on Valentine's Day? We may have some roommate love going on.
Wow. Do you have a question about that for Dr. Drew?
Well, we did, but we had to scratch it because of the vaginal discharge odor call.
Liar, whore, liar,
we know,
whore.
We know,
you
Anderson.
Know it.
Yes, we know it's bogus, but BJ's having fun with them.
What?
Are you done with them?
Thanks for your call.
No, I
okay,
yeah,
bye,
thanks
guys.
For the call.
Okay, bye. Oh, man. Here we go. Let's talk to Gary, 25. Gary, what's up?
Hey, Dr. Drew, Zen Master, and The Office, the best sitcom since Seinfeld.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
definitely.
Would it even be called a sitcom? It's sort of a new genre.
Yeah.
It's almost
comedy.
Right? Yeah, it's just
comedy. Show.
Yeah.
Comedy show.
Yeah.
I think it's the best comedy show ever.
Mm-hmm.
Since Wings.
Pretty much.
Well, it's just like it.
Since Raising Dad. Go ahead. What's your question?
How dare you?
Dr. Drew.
Gary.
Well, I don't know. It scared a couple of girls off, but I don't know. I guess about a couple of years ago, in the process of intercourse, I realized I really like girls slapping me really hard, clawing, yelling profanities at me. And I guess the question is this healthy? And kind of what is the psychology behind that? I guess sadomasochism. I don't really get off by chicks in leather or anything like that, but anyways.
Gentlemen, let you have a crack at him first.
You've asked me the same question, Rain.
Well, yes, not live on the air in front of millions of people. What's your listenership, by the way? How many people are listening to this?
About 2 million tonight.
For real. Seriously, yeah. 2 million people?
Oh yeah, God. Across the couple hours we'll hear.
I want everyone, 2 million people, I want you all to buy blue Post-it notes tomorrow. See if we can do. If I can influence 2 million people to all buy blue Post-it notes tomorrow.
You're not going
to
mention
it's
going to
shift the whole market. No, I don't care about that. You know what
to
I mean?
Blue. From
yeah,
yellow.
Just like people are going to freak out. The people at 3M are just going to be like, their minds
the
are going to be blown.
We had blue until yesterday.
Yeah, they're all gone all of a sudden. Well, I say that, you know, man, you've got a little fetish thing going on, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's not the worst thing I've ever heard.
No. You know?
What is the worst thing you've ever heard?
Oh, my God. 2 million? I can't.
Okay.
No, you have a little fetish thing, and there's nothing wrong with that, and you just need to find a chick that, you know, likes to slap you and spank you and humiliate
and I'm
you.
And I'm not sure that he's troubled so much by the fetish, he just wonders where it came from or whether it's normal. Is that right?
Oh,
he wants to do it. He likes it. He's saying, "Is it normal?" And it's not. You know, it's always tough to use words like normal. It's not usual fare. It does mean something. And is it something you should avoid? Well, if you do too much of that, it will take away from the intimacy and can be very difficult for your partner sometimes to sort of feel close to you. And what this usually is in fact a bid to try to avoid intimacy a little bit. And as I've said many, many times in this show, that the things of terror in our childhood become sources of immense attraction in our adult life. So if you were hit, if you were called names, if you were yelled at by particularly important people to the point where it felt awful when you were a kid, magically you'll pursue that in your romantic relationships, and especially acted out in sexual
settings. Learning a lot here tonight.
Yeah, people are unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm actually riveted.
You didn't know that?
It's no. Just,
that's why I'm sexually well attracted
it was
to
something,
clowns.
It was something noticed way
that's
back.
Not
I mean,
why.
I mean, Freud used to call it repetition compulsion. We see it now in addictive trauma survivors.
I'm also sexually attracted to Freud.
Really?
And people with beards and Meerschaum pipes.
That's bizarre. Security? Security. But the fact is that there is this thing that happens in trauma survivors where it's why the domestic violence, why do you stay with the guy? Mm-hmm. Why do you keep going for that kind of guy? Why do you find that kind of girl? Why do you have to fix the girl that's so broken? Because that was mom or that was dad or that's how I was treated. And that becomes arousing and attractive in our adult life. And it's at the sort of the extremes of the bell curve, you know, the behavior where people are really traumatized. You see these real compulsions to be with people that help people reenact the traumas of the past. DJ 26.
Hey, I have a question for you, Doc.
All right, buddy.
I met this girl 3 weeks ago at a club, and one thing led to another. Anyway, we got down the first night. And
To what?
That,
Hold on a second. Anderson, did the F word just fly out?
No, he said the first night.
First night. Okay. Go ahead, DJ. I'm sorry.
The first night we met. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Before we got to that, she made mention of she's not looking for a temporary thing. She was looking for a long-time relationship, which I was okay with. Anyway, since then, she's been making plans to see me, but every time the day comes for her to come over here and see me,
we got it. What got the picture, DJ? What's the question?
I mean, what do I do? Do I call her? Because I haven't called her in a week. Do I call her to see what's going on, or do I just leave her alone and just move on?
Hey, man, DJ, do you like her?
Yeah,
then call her, man.
Call her.
Tell her you like her.
But aren't you saying, though, you're concerned that she's getting sort of too clingy?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that the issue? Yeah. So here's the deal. Even when people claim that it's going to be casual and we're just friends with benefits, we love each other, we're friends, we can have sex, it's okay. Look, on paper, that looks great. You're friends, you're close, you have sex. Communism looks good on paper, too. It doesn't work in real life. Somebody gets attached.
I don't know about that.
What, communism? Or
yeah. Rain comes from a real liberal.
We'll get into
background.
That later.
Well, so far, hasn't worked on paper anyway. It looked better on paper than in real life so far. And the fact is, DJ, that people get attached and people develop feelings. Maybe they don't expect them. And, yeah, she developed feelings. Good. That's normal. Go ahead and continue a relationship with her if you're into her, if you like her. What are you going to say? Right?
I love that his name is DJ and he goes to clubs a lot.
It's nice.
It may be.
He calls the radio stations.
It may be DJ something. He just hasn't yet given out his full name. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? All right. Let's talk to Dan, 22. Dan, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You're on with... What? What's better, Dan?
Are you climaxing, Dan?
Yes, like, oh.
No, I just had a question for you.
All right.
I got real heavy over my teen years. Like, I was real thin when I was young. And then about 14, I started putting on a lot of weight. And I got up to, like, 330.
Whoa.
And then I slipped my disc L5, and so I had surgery, a decompression L5 S1.
Yeah.
And after that, they had me, you know, doing the therapy.
Exercise, right,
and
right.
And I started losing some weight when I was on all the pain medication and all that because I wasn't eating very much.
Right.
But I dropped, like, probably 60 or 70 pounds in the first, like, 6 months afterwards, and then I just continued to drop it, and now I've lost 140.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wondering, is there anything I should be, like, concerned about that it could, what could cause that other than I just don't eat as much as I used to? Because I don't.
What does this have to do with the television show The Office?
I know it could be an episode? Somebody gets fat and then loses weight?
Maybe you just better handle this one, Dr. Drew, from a medical standpoint.
Well, that's your opinion. Maybe BJ has something to say.
Not from an entertainment
standpoint. No, I think we should help
standpoint.
Him, not
okay.
See how we can pillage his story for
okay.
our own
okay.
benefit.
Yeah,
fair enough. Let's help him. Go ahead, help him.
Dan, here's the deal. The fact that you gained weight the way you did does suggest sort of an eating disorder.
Right, and I had.
Yeah, and people that have eating disorders have wide, you know, huge fluctuations. They go way up and they go way down. Then it sounds like you got kind of addicted to opiates there, right?
Yeah.
You're strung out on opiates. And as a side effect of that, you lost weight. Have you lost too much weight? No. 2 years, 140 pounds. I mean, that's possible, provided you're maintaining a balanced diet. It's probably healthier that you lost the weight. What I'm concerned about is the mental health issues here. Why did you have such a severe eating disorder? What have you done about the opiate addiction? Are you still on painkillers now?
No, not at all. I had, it's been 1 year post-op. November 11th.
Are you doing any other drugs or anxiety medicines or anything like that?
No, I do take, I still take Soma from time to time.
Right. Lay off the Soma, please. Get your exercise going. Make sure, maybe see a dietitian, get a balanced diet. And something happened to you. Again, this is trauma survivor behavior, this stuff, and addict behavior. So be aware, Dan, you've sort of got both things going, and that usually leads to addictive disease down the line. So just pay attention to your emotional and mental health. Lynn, 23.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
I had a question, totally, totally serious. Oh, first of all, I wanted to congratulate you on Cracked. It was totally amazing.
Oh, thank you.
And your postscript, remember forever. It was so awesome.
Wow, that's very kind, Lynn. Just a Thanks. Book I wrote a couple years ago. It was sort of,
oh.
Yeah, it was about what I do. I treat drug addicts all the time. And sort of Judith Regan grabbed me one day and said, write a book. I don't know when. She goes, just write me 20 pages. And I went out running, and just this story came out of me.
Yeah.
And she said, there's your book. Keep writing. That's the only direction she gave me the whole
Non-fiction
time.
Non-fiction book?
It's not to be too much like A Million Little Pieces, it's based on real, but because I can't expose real things, I had to composite people together and sort of develop usual cases and then explore my what I would feel like in those situations and really divulge more about what it feels like to take care of these people rather than so much the detail about the
I'd love to read that. Because you're calling for the next hour and a half.
Really brave.
What's that, Lynn?
I thought you were really brave in terms of like how sincere you were about your feelings towards the patient.
Well, it's very good. I mean, the goal of the book for me was to teach people about boundaries, and that early on in my career, my boundaries weren't great. And I know how people who are sick, like those patients I describe in the book, would affect me then. And I also know that that didn't help them when I thought I was rescuing them and I was feeling so stirred by them. And I want to portray what happens later when you're able just to be present with people and how they struggle and get better. So that was it. But what's going on?
Okay, so.
You like The Office, too, don't you, Lynn?
Of course. Yes. But I love the British one, too.
Oh, I like this one way better.
Wait, there was a British one?
Yeah. you can't compare the two because they're both awesome.
You know who we got in the studio tonight, right?
Hello.
Do you? I mean, you may not.
I'm Ricky Gervais. This is Stephen Merchant.
I'm afraid people don't know your names. You know what I mean? They know you as the characters,
right?
And just think of the stars of the show. I've got them sitting in the studio right now. So what's up, Lynn?
Think about them.
Okay, totally serious question. Like,
right.
She's like, yeah, great. Okay.
Sorry.
No.
Go ahead, Lynn. Serious question.
With my last boyfriend, there was this position that I guess he really liked. I totally hated it. But because it was, like, painful.
Flying squirrel?
How does that one work?
Is that what it was?
Flying squirrel?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Lynn. Sorry, serious question.
Before you even ask your question, already I'm sort of upset because I'm amazed at the way women subject themselves to painful things during sex on behalf of being fearful of not satisfying their man. The guy's happy he's having sex with you. You don't have to, you know, break your arm for him.
Right.
Okay, but that was, like, I mentioned...
The guy could cut a hole in the mattress and be happy, so...
Yeah, yes. Well, with her there. But go ahead, Lynn. What was the position?
Okay, so, and I did mention that I really didn't like it, and it kind of became like a grand finale kind of position. So it was like when my legs were, like, not, like, by my head, but kind of by my shoulders, like, up.
Oh, the wing nut. That's what you're describing.
Oh.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Hang on again. Wait, I'm trying to picture this. Legs are by your shoulders, not by your head?
Well, okay. I wanted to be accurate.
Can you do that, BJ, just for me so I get a clear visual?
Yeah. Take a look.
Oh, okay. I got it. Okay. Lynn.
Oh, grasshopper number 13. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I know that
Lynn,
position.
What did he say to convince you to do this?
Really?
Just do it, baby.
One time.
I need your elbows up by your shoulder blades. Come on, baby.
No? Lynn?
Not so much. It was like one time, it just like it happened, and I was like, wow.
Doesn't sound like the kind of thing that just happens based on your description.
Your anatomological description.
How did I get like this?
You know, let me I'm going to tell you how good I am. Lynn, you're sort of multi-orgasmic, right?
No.
Uh-oh.
That's a totally different, like, subject because, like, I love it. It's fun, the whole activity, but, like, I never orgasm through sex, ever.
So it's with oral sex only?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Okay,
anyway,
I was wrong.
So my problem?
Yes.
It was, okay, so the pain was, like, deep, like, I thought, like, an organ was damaged because... It was like a really deep pain, like below, like way below my stomach, kind of like groin
That's
area.
Normal.
And like,
totally normal.
But it was
not a problem.
What was the pain? Like, where did it come from? What was the thing that was being injured?
Your uterus, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to know which thing was sort of bruised the most. Maybe he ruptured an ovarian cyst. Maybe there's several ligaments that hold your uterus up that can be stretched and be painful.
Oh, wait, let's get his side of this.
Oh, my God. When, like,
Greg, we've got you on the phone.
3 years ago, like, they found, like, 5 cysts.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He probably ruptured an ovarian cyst or else stirred one up. And it's not trivial. I mean, if he took a baseball bat and jammed in as hard as he could, don't you think he might hurt you? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not like it's not impossible to hurt you with this. He can hurt you. Right. And in this case, hopefully just a ruptured cyst, something like that. But are you still having pain?
Well,
like, we split up and everything, and I wouldn't do that position again because it's really sucky.
You know what? I'm going to use that position on him, see how he likes it.
Yeah,
that'll show him.
He really will.
BJ, you with me?
Yeah.
You and me, right here.
Right here.
He won't give you the high five. Oh. I just you and I are like mine. I'll give you a high five with that.
Thanks.
There you go. Okay.
Thanks. Ow.
Oh, okay.
That worked.
But Lynn, are you okay now? No more pain?
No more pain.
All right. Then move on. Okay?
Thanks.
And get the cyst checked out just to make sure that there isn't something more going on. Or whatever. Whatever makes Lynn happy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This whole business of subjecting yourself to anal sex, different positions. All right. BJ Novak, Rainn Wilson, they are from The Office. I guarantee you know their characters. They are a riot. My favorite show, 9:30 NBC, Thursday nights. We'll be right back.
Loveline. Be right back in a minute.
It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We are here with cast of The Office, and Chris wants to talk to them. Chris, what's up?
Hey, I just want to say you guys have a really great show. I mean,
thanks, Chris.
It's just such an awesome show. I really turned it on to the rest of like my friends, and I was just wondering like what was your guys' favorite episode?
Must be one BJ wrote.
No.
What was yours, Rainn?
My favorite episode was the injury. Mindy.
I was going to say, Mindy's really episodes tend to be my favorite.
That's the one where my character Dwight gets a concussion and I throw up all over my car and then my personality starts to change and I end up getting a CAT scan. I like that one.
His foot on the George Foreman grill.
And, Michael, played by
Steve. Oh, that was very funny.
Steve guy.
You know Steve Carell's in the show too,
right? Oh, right. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
That was my favorite episode. I have lots of favorites, though. BJ, this one, honestly, Chris and you other 2 million listeners, this one tomorrow night, Thursday at 9:30 is really awesome.
Boys and girls?
Yes.
Can you tell us what happens? I mean, basically?
Basically Jan, who's Michael's boss, who he sometimes hooks up with, comes to the office to lead a women in the workplace seminar.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
already,
Michael, shut
already
out of his own office, takes the men downstairs to the warehouse for male bonding. And I think there are more division lines than Michael anticipates between different races in the warehouse and different income levels and how he feels about the women. And
what do the girls go off by themselves?
The girls are in the conference room all day.
And they have a nice time.
Well, you know, they have different personalities too. They aren't all just a group of women. So I think when you separate people, I'm not going to make any grand speech about gender. It just, you know,
why don't we talk
happen.
About the comic aspects? Like there's a forklift that gets wrecked.
Yeah, that's what it's a comedy
show. Stuff like that.
Coming. Let's not
get
people
run into things.
Yeah. The themes of the episode are very. Yeah. No, it's Steve Carell is on a forklift.
Okay, Chris.
Yeah, I really like the concussion episode. It really like shows that Dwight that you can act like both sides. You can be a complete dork and then you can be a cool guy. I thought you're a really good actor.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Rainn is very smooth and versatile. I completely agree.
Yeah. And for some reason, there's a moment that stands out for me when. The Steve Carell character is out. He's getting a new house, and he's standing in front of the house, going, "I can see my son here pushing on a swing." And he goes, "And they go, no, that's yours over here." Yeah, it's whatever.
That's another favorite of my episodes. That's a great.
What do they call that one?
That one was Office Olympics because Michael is buying the condo, and everyone at the office is staging a kind of a fake Olympic games with paperclips and games you play around the office, which we hear. Has been kind of taking off.
Oh, I'm sure of that.
That people have been doing actual Office Olympics because of our show and doing like foot races with those reams of paper tied to their feet and stuff like that.
I think that's why people like the show so much. It rings so true. Everyone, yeah. I'm sure people are, you know, calling each other by the names of the characters and whatnot, depending.
Boredom and monotony and bad haircuts.
Claire 20.
Hi, are you guys there?
Yeah, we're here. Yeah, second, Claire, though. But one of the comedy thing for me is that Jenna was telling me she spends all her day like searching online and talking on MySpace.
Which is so accurate to how you would actually spend your day in an office.
So funny. All right, Claire, what's up?
All right, I have a couple questions, actually. It has to do with my birth control.
Yeah.
I'm on this birth control Microgestin, and I haven't gotten my period because of it, and I go off of it for the week that you're supposed to, and I haven't gotten my period for about... Right. 7 months now, and I didn't know if that was normal for oral like birth controls or?
Obviously not, but it is a common side effect for the particular kind or quality of pill that you're using. Have you talked to your doctor about it?
Yeah, he didn't really have an explanation for it, and I've been looking for it online, and I can't seem
to find explanation
it.
Is you're basically not on enough estrogen, and maybe that's intentionally so. So losing your period is a side effect of the pill. Having mid-cycle bleeding or bleeding all the time is a side effect of the pill, and you kind of have to adjust it based on what your particular needs are to give you the least possible side effects. And
should I change my birth control? Or I'm just worried that it'll affect me later on in life. That would
no,
be part of my
no. Life. Listen, whenever you take the progesterone pills or progesterone shots, Claire, you know the Depo shot.
Yeah.
When you take that, you lose your period too. But that's how it works. It's supposed to do that. And people now not bleeding, not having your period has no real implications in and of itself. It's not the not bleeding that's a problem. It's why are you not bleeding? Could that be a significant issue? Probably not on the particular pills you're on, okay?
Okay, and then that's good.
Okay.
All right. That makes me feel better. My other part of the question was, does birth control at all affect you? Because I've been on it for 10 years now. If I go off of it and wanted to get pregnant, 20? Would it at all affect me that I'd been on it for 10 years? Like, would it make it harder to become pregnant?
The prevailing wisdom is no. But why did you get on the birth control pill when you're 10?
I got on it I didn't go on it for sex. I got my period when I was 9, so it started earlier on, and I went on it for, like, cramps.
Whoa.
And stuff like that.
So you had premature puberty, huh?
Yeah.
Precocious puberty, we call it. Were you born in Southern California?
Yeah. Northern California, I'm sorry.
That makes all the difference. We see precocious puberty in, like, Romanian orphans, highly stressed infants and that kind of thing. Kids start with early puberty.
There you go. I run in my family, so I don't
know. Get it. Interesting. There's more.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know why you guys turned down those two girls. It seemed like a pretty good offer. Especially you, BJ. Come on, they seem to like
it. I know. That was a missed opportunity.
Could have been the greatest Valentine's Day ever, BJ.
I know. Now I'm spending it with Rain.
You and me.
Well, that's going to be the best ever, let's be fair. This is Rebecca 20.
Hi. How are you tonight?
I'm great.
I'm B+.
Okay, my question is that how to get orgasms in different positions? Like, I can have an orgasm, when I'm on my back, but is there any other positions that I can?
Yeah, there was this one caller who talked about a position that sounded pretty good.
Grasshopper 12.
Yeah.
Squirrel. Take your left ankle right now. Where are you sitting? Are you comfortable? Are you lying down?
I'm in my car,
and
actually.
Put it behind your right ear. Are you driving? Pull over to the side of the road.
No.
Put it behind your right ear and try and put your pelvis on the steering wheel.
Feels good, right?
So I'm going to guide you through this, okay?
There other positions? Hasn't your partner suggested other positions?
He has, but I can never actually have them.
Okay, like, Rebecca.
A while ago, go ahead.
No, I want to hear what you did a while ago. Go ahead.
A while ago, I could have them when I was on top, but I just got used to having him do them for me.
All right, the fact that you have orgasms with intercourse already puts you in the exceptional category.
You're doing great.
I don't even have
orgasms with intercourse.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Rain doesn't have orgasm with intercourse.
No.
Most women don't have orgasm with intercourse, just like the girl that was in the grasshopper position.
Have orgasm when I'm slapping that previous caller.
The flying squirrel?
The guy who wanted to be slapped.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Or thinking about it, at least.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Rebecca, the fact that you can have orgasm during intercourse already makes you sort of talented, okay?
Okay.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
You do understand that?
Yep.
Okay. In terms of changing position, that's something you have to kind of work on with your partner. It's not that there's some magic position. It's something that two people need to work out together. He needs to pay attention to you. You need to pay attention to your body and show him, ask him to do certain things. But the fact that you are able to do so already puts you in the exceptional category. Most women only orgasm with oral sex. Those that can with intercourse, you're in that sort of intermediate category that can most of the time with intercourse. And I'm sure as you get more familiar with yourself and your partner, it will happen in other positions.
And it's fine, baby. It's really fine to just, like, have one position that works for you.
Right.
You know, because it changes, too. Like, you'll have different partners, and certain positions work with some partners. And,
yes.
Like, some periods in your life, you're all about doggy, you know what I mean? And then other times you're like, you know what? forget doggy, let's go back to missionary. You know what I mean?
Then just wheelbarrow kind of, and then back to flying
squirrel.
Sure,
exactly. Yeah. Come full circle. But it's all fine. If you need to finish off in a certain position, then that's fine.
This is Shauna, 23. Shauna?
Hi. I was just going to ask you a question about my son. Oh, first of all, I love The Office. You guys are great.
See?
Thank you. Thanks so much.
I agree.
But
would you say that we are the greatest television show ever?
Truly the greatest.
Oh. So says Shauna.
And I know many people that have a crush on you, BJ.
Really? Yeah.
Interesting.
Really.
Tell him to call in.
Yeah.
Last time, not going to blow another opportunity.
By the way, last time we told somebody to call in, they got through, much to his amazement. What's up?
This is kind of embarrassing. My son, he's 7.
Yeah.
And I have caught him sticking things up his butt.
Like what kind of things?
Like his fingers and one day a spatula that was never to be used again.
And, why not?
And it's really embarrassing.
Where's dad?
Dad died.
What happened?
He was in a car accident.
How old was he when that happened?
He was 1, so he doesn't even remember his dad.
Was dad loaded or anything when he died?
No.
Just a horrible random event.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was really hard, but...
Do you think that affected him? Were you sort of crushed and maybe it's him seeing you upset left an imprint on him?
I don't know, because, you know, I knew that I had to be strong for him, and, you know, I went into the therapy, and you know, my family was there, then they supported me, and they helped me with him and everything, and so I feel that I did a good job. I mean...
Is there any chance he was sort of abused in any way during that time, when maybe you were sort of preoccupied with other things?
I honestly do not see it ever happening. I mean, he talks to me about everything he has told me.
Well,
about.
But Dr. Drew, isn't there a certain natural curiosity?
Yes, and there's an
the
age.
Pooper. Anal phase,
yes,
right?
And there's a phase when they're more prone to do this, but 7, they're sort of through that. And
can you say pooper?
Pooper, right. Yes. You can say a-hole, too.
I put a pencil in my butt.
Yes, yes.
When I was...
Well,
but
he
No. But I was like 10 or 11. I remember doing it just to see if I could do it, and then I threw it out.
And that's, you know, then you'll see
I'm
you can have
honest.
A very celebrated career in acting, right?
Yeah,
after that.
I'm doing great.
But it kids do this, and it's not over the top. It's not like it's, oh, my God, we got to rush him off to a
right.
hospital right away. But it is a sign. In my experience, it's been a sign of aggression.
And, what I'm kind of worried about is, you know, I've caught him on several different occasions. And, hello?
Yep, we're listening.
Oh, okay.
We're all ears.
Oh, I thought I got cut off. And he, you know, at first I just kind of blew it off like, okay, he's curious. But I noticed that a couple times it was after he got upset, like he didn't clean his room or something.
Right, right. It's an anger thing. Yeah, I can tell you, while he may grow up fine without any interventions, and this may or may not be something very serious, I would, if it were one of my children, I would definitely have it evaluated.
Hi, Mommy, I'm gay.
No, it doesn't mean that. It really is not about sexual orientation. It's just one of those things that it's you know you've been through a big trauma here. You know he's been dealing with stuff without the dad. You know he's having trouble managing his anger and aggression. Why not? Why not? I mean, what's the downside? So anyway.
Have you tried talking to your 7-year-old about putting things in his butt?
How about that?
I mean,
they're 7 years old, but they can still have a conversation.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Hey, I notice you like to put things in your butt. What's going on with that?
Yes, I have. I've talked to him about it, and he has no idea why he does it. And, you know, I tried to stay calm, you know, not freak him out like, oh, my gosh, why are you doing this?
Right, it's all good.
Is he German? What part German are you?
I'm very little.
Go ahead.
Very little, very little. Just a little.
Very little.
Just
German.
the part. That's Rob Schneider. Just the part that puts the spatula in his rib.
Uh-huh,
that's
uh-huh.
The German part. All right, we have Rainn Wilson, BJ Novak from The Office. They play Dwight and Ryan, respectively. You can see Rainn in Super Ex-Girlfriend coming up in the spring. Is that right? Summer?
July 17th it comes out.
July 17th with Uma Thurman and Luke Wilson.
That's right.
That sounds good.
And me. It's good. It's going to be great. It's going to be funny.
And then keep an eye open for BJ at the Improv and other stand-up routines. We're going to take a quick break. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will return. Hey everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191, Rainn Wilson, BJ Novak from the hit Office, 9:30 NBC Thursday night. Set your TiVos, don't miss it. Andy, 28, what's going on?
Hi, Dr. Drew. I wanted to ask you a question.
Yeah.
I've been working in a residential detox for about a year.
Yeah.
And tonight a patient brought up, and I'd only heard this in reference, but I was wondering, what's your opinion and what do you know about this so-called rapid detox?
Rapid detox is basically where they put you under anesthesia and shock your opiate addicts out into a very, very intense withdrawal syndrome while you're paralyzed. They sort of pull you through a procedure that theoretically changes the receptors in your brain, sort of shocks them back into a more normal state, let's say. It's a way of going rapidly through withdrawal that normally takes about 5 days. I have no quarrel with it, except it's kind of dangerous. I mean, it's general anesthesia. It's a good option for methadone addicts. Andy, as you know, methadone can take 4 to 8 weeks to withdraw from.
Sure.
My quarrel is with the fact that I can get anybody off any OxyContin or heroin or anything pretty quick, you know, pretty easily in about 5 days. I mean, it's not that awful these days. You use a lot of Seroquel and Clonidine. We have all kinds of things we can use to get people through withdrawal. And heroin addicts, as one wise social worker said to me once, people who are into drugs aren't into insurance. So they usually have very limited resources. Why spend all those resources on going into anesthesia for, you know, hours?
You're not for 5 days in
no,
under
you're like
anesthesia?
like a long day, basically, anesthesia.
Wow.
And then when you get out, you're sort of done with the withdrawal. It's sort of a painless, theoretical way of going through withdrawal. It's just, you know, withdrawal, the problem is the withdrawal from drugs is not the problem in addiction. It's the easiest part. As you know, Andy, you're in a residential program. The hardest part is keeping people sober. And if you don't pour most of your resources into that, you're kind of wasting them up front on the withdrawal part, which is scary for people, but quite doable, not a big deal.
Sure.
So that's my thing. I have no quarrel with it as a principle. It's fine if people have unlimited money and they want to just do that, fine, go do that. But if they think of it as treatment or as opposed to treatment or instead of or just if I just get off the drug, I'll be fine. It sort of perpetuates that myth. If I just get off the drugs, I'll be fine, which is not the case.
Right. And right? If I could ask you one more quick question.
Yeah.
You know, how much of this, in your opinion, where does the biology begin and sort of the trauma start or vice versa?
Well, that's I understand the question. Let me just say that you pretty much, you know, addiction is accounted for about 60% of the probability of addiction is accounted for by genetics. You pretty much have to have the gene to get the disease, but genes are destiny. And one of the things that activates gene to disease is trauma. That's really all I have time to say, Andy, tonight. Kelly, 32.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Kelly, what's up?
I have a question about orgasms. I used to only be able to have orgasms when I was asleep. The first time I ever experienced one was when I was sleeping, and I woke up, and I wasn't, you know, touching myself. There was no physical contact, but that's how I discovered what orgasms were. Now I'm able to do it to have them through manual stimulation. But I'm just wondering, how normal is that? And can you explain why that happens?
For wet dreams? That's a wet dream.
You had a wet dream.
All males have that, okay?
I had my first one, I think I was like 12.
I've never had one.
Oh, BS.
Ever.
You just didn't. What, did you start masturbating when you were
never?
Six?
Seven.
Seven. Okay. Well, there you go. The thing about males is if they don't take it out of their body for them, God does it later.
The dog started licking me at seven. Does that count?
God?
Oh.
The dog.
Oh.
I
mean, that's how
he's dyslexic.
God or the dog will take it out of
Anderson,
you.
Anderson, we're just sort of creeped out here, so okay.
Sorry, bud.
I think God taking it out of you is creepier,
and
frankly.
And the only time I can have orgasms is under general anesthesia.
I thought you could when you're smacking that guy.
Right in that.
Yeah. Okay.
Smacking that guy.
Kelly, women have wet dreams too, and that's, you know, I how does it happen? Well, you know, the fact of arousal in a dream state can be sufficient to cause a climax. That's just the way we're wired. I mean, in that state, there's all kinds of sort of biological reasons why we're de-repressed and why the certain autonomic tones are the way they are that set it up. But suffice it to say that it is possible, it is common. It tends to be associated with higher levels of testosterone.
Yes.
So you tend to be probably are sort of an androgenized female, as we say, Kelly. But
nothing wrong with that.
There's no implications otherwise.
I remember my first wet dream. I remember what it was about.
What was it about?
This girl named Brenda in my junior high school, and she was riding a bicycle, and I was viewing her from behind in her derriere. But it was larger than life. And then that's all I remember was like...
How did you know when you woke up what had happened?
Because I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, wow. And then I woke up. I was like, oh, man, Brenda, bicycle. Look at, wow.
But did it take you a long time afterwards to realize, oh, that's what that was, that dream?
No. It was all...
You knew.
Instantaneous.
You knew what it was.
Seared into my memory.
You're like, wet dream. How did you
But I mean, how did you know what dream was? Had you been talking about your peers or something?
Oh, yeah. I'd heard about it in like sex ed class.
See, BJ took several years. He was like 19.
No, I remember. Yeah, I didn't know what that was. I just had a dream. And I was like, that was the best dream ever. I need to sleep in that position or think about that before I go to bed.
And I got to remember to pee before I go to bed, too. Oh, look what happened. Right?
Yeah. No, I didn't. Yeah.
And you didn't
like
see the fluid.
A year or two later, I didn't see it, but the year or two later, I was like, oh, that's what that was.
Fantastic.
All right, we have to get another break. We have Rainn Wilson, BJ Novak. They are stars of The Office. NBC, Thursday, 9:30. The phone number here, 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline, Dr. Drew, and the cast of The Office will be right back.
Loveline will be right back. Loveline will be right back.
It's Loveline. Rainn Wilson, BJ Novak from The Office, NBC, Thursday, 9:30. And because they're in the studio tonight, you'll be reading about it on the front page of papers everywhere tomorrow. People will be running in the street tonight.
You better believe it.
This is something akin to War of the Worlds.
This is historic.
It's historic. I suggest you listen.
We've already talked about poopers.
Pencils in the ass.
Orgasms.
Doesn't mean we won't again.
No.
Sure. Well, Jägermeister.
Rain's here, please. Jägermeisters. And BJ Novak wrote the show that's going to be on tomorrow night, Boys and Girls, so be sure to check that out.
He wrote it longhand with a quill pen. It's really old school.
I'd love to see it.
Hey, Dr. Drew, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
A friend of mine went to a private school in Pasadena, and he said he won the Dr. Drew Pritzky Theater
Award. Oh, how weird is that?
Award.
That's wild.
Is that such a thing?
There is such a thing,
you
yeah.
funded a
My parents did that long after I was gone. I didn't even know about it.
They did it in your name?
Yep.
In Pasadena? What's the school?
Polytechnic. Yep.
My friend Kevin Isola,
who might be
listening tonight, won that award.
That's very interesting.
And now he's a professional actor.
Really? What's he doing now?
He's not very good, but he is an actor.
What's he doing?
He's just booked a thing in Boston Legal, and he's going to play Candace Bergen's nephew, and he just did some Broadway plays. And
he's a working actor.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good guy. Yeah.
Well, my kids go to that school now, so it's a good...
Really?
I'm all hooked in with that.
Nice.
And you're going to move to Agora, so your kids will be going out to school out there.
That's right. Yeah. That's a land of racist white cops out there. Me and a bunch of racist white cops.
If you're
listening tonight, my new address is...
The cops are ready for you in Agora Hills.
Now, I'm looking at a young man named Jackson here who wants to ask you gentlemen a hypothetical question. So go ahead, Jackson. Let's have it.
Nathan, long-time listener, first-time caller.
All right, here we go.
Me and my friends are wondering, if a girl's giving you a head, mm-hmm. and she chokes on your dicks and dies, mm-hmm. and she dies, is it murder or not?
Murder. Manslaughter.
Involuntary manslaughter. And you can beat it.
Second
here's
degree.
How.
How?
No, I...
So it's
not
just
a lawyer.
Just like if you're driving, or well, I thought maybe you sort of thought this through. Just saying.
Just trying to think it through. But
if you're driving a car and you hit somebody and they die, that's same idea.
How do you
idea.
Know? Like, what if the girl has had a heart attack while she's going down on
like
you?
Like, had nothing to do with
and
it.
Then exactly.
That's why you got to go to attorney.
You're going to have trouble with the
civil case.
How do
you prove the choking?
I don't know. Like, it gets caught.
See, what would have to happen, I mean, let's be serious, you guys. He'd have to show his junk and go, really, seriously, on this?
Right.
Choking?
Right.
Come on. Now, there's your defense right there.
Right.
See, that makes perfect sense to me. This is Michael.
Great question.
Great question.
Thanks so much.
What's up, Michael? You're 19.
It would be vehicular manslaughter, wouldn't it?
Oh, oh.
There we go.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
That's good.
Anderson.
He's good. Satellite boy.
Michael.
Yes.
There you are. What's up?
Not a whole lot. I have varicose veins in my scrotum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I've seen a doctor about them, and I had a count done, and the count was fine at the time. But it's been maybe
sperm
2 years
count, now
since
I think.
Seen the doctor initially. Yeah.
Vein count or sperm count?
Sperm count.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, anyway, I was working 2 jobs, and I'd be on my feet basically all day. Mm. And it would hurt me on the days that I was working both jobs and I was on my feet all day, and then the next day I'd be hurting. But now I'm just working 1 job, and it seems to be hurting more, and I'm not sure why.
Are they just in the testicles, or are they spread out across the sort of into the legs and thighs and stuff?
Just testicles.
Just the testicles. So it's just one side?
Yes, left side.
Oh. And they ache. Wow. Do you wear, this is going to sound crazy, but do you wear like tidy whities?
No, I do not.
That's what you need. You need something that supports the testicles a little more.
Yeah, you know what? You know what's good for that?
What's that?
I wear them when I play tennis. The bicycle shorts. You know those dolphin bicycle shorts that just hoist you up there like a little truss?
The idea is, Michael, that when gravity is pulling the blood down, that's what caused the irritation.
Right.
So you want to put some counterposing pressure, you know, which is something that pulls them in.
Do you own a pair of those, BJ?
Dolphins?
A couple.
B-Diz know what dolphins are. Dolphin pants are
it's
before
good because
his time.
It just,
I bet you.
Oh, really?
Dolphins are
I thought it's like a contemporary thing.
Really? It's kind of a 70s thing, I thought.
It's good. It hoists it all up there. It's really good. It's nice and contained.
All right, Matt, 14.
Are you serious?
Yeah, serious.
Yeah.
It's
how's
you,
it going,
buddy.
Guys?
Great.
My question is, well, I heard you guys talking about communism and stuff.
Oh, nice.
And I'm kind of a budding communist myself, and I was wondering how you guys felt about it and stuff.
I'll take the con side.
Are you touching yourself right now?
No,
he's just breathing heavy.
He's been smoking out a little bit, I think.
No, you guys, shut up. I'm serious. No, I'm straight as an arrow.
Yeah.
All right.
And so, Rain, go ahead.
Communism.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. How do you respond to that? I agree with Dr. Drew. I think it's great in theory, and I just think that the way human nature is that it's basically impossible to distribute the power across the mass of humanity in the way that communism wants to do it, because there's always going to be some guy in control that's going to turn corrupt and make it an autocracy in some form
or
another.
Not what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
I think it's designed to suppress human greed, and eventually it always ends up suppressing human nature in general and becomes oppressive.
But, you know, there may come a day when we can suppress human nature a little bit. You know what I mean? We don't beat each other up. We don't pull in the street.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Speed limits are suppressing human nature.
Right.
I mean, you
don't
want to drive 55, to quote Sammy Hagar.
I just think it takes a long time. I mean, think how we treated races and women. You know, all
but
these,
my
these
phrase
crazy
sounded
things
so
that,
good.
It did
Why
sound
do we
good.
Have
but you're right, though. But you're
here's
right.
My question. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about social democracy for a minute. Why, like in Denmark and Iceland and all these, like Sweden, these really successful, like social democracy, liberal countries, people are like really depressed and always killing themselves and having multiple babies. And there seems to be like this
multiple babies.
Well, you know, like single women with like 5 kids and stuff like that. And there's, you know, people are doing white drugs and dancing till dawn. And it's just
good or bad.
There's kind of a malaise. There's a general kind of malaise over those cultures.
Yes.
And what's up with that, Dr. Drew? What do you think?
Maybe it's suppressing human nature. There's no freedom to express themselves. Or maybe that they're just...
No, they have freedom,
or maybe
though.
They're just northern latitudes and it's dark all the time. This is more depression in those cold countries. Cindy, 24, is it a response to our murder by blow?
Oh, good.
Okay.
Okay, so we just went over this in criminal law, right?
Stop.
No
way. Where do you
no
go to school?
Way.
I go to Tulane.
Tulane.
There we go.
Yes.
New Orleans.
So there are two answers to this. Depending on your lawyer, you could go with negligent manslaughter because he failed to exercise reasonable care when she started choking by, you know, removing whatever it was.
Okay. That's more than reasonable.
And the whole reasonable person is, that just to go into that would be, yeah. And the other one is actually California, I believe, has, I'm not sure if you guys go on the model penal code or not,
That was unfortunate. But anyway.
Penile or penile? Okay, all right,
yeah.
Whatever.
Abandoned and malignant heart manslaughter. Like, this person was just so reckless in what he was doing.
What about the emotional trauma it would cause the guy? Does anyone think about the guy in this case?
Hasn't he suffered enough?
That
please.
What we call not a legal answer.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to start using that phrase from now on.
Not
exactly
a legal answer.
True. I totally used so much of your stuff when we went over rape, like just about how men and women think differently.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
It worked. Helped you.
Do they? Huge fan of you. I cracked everything.
Oh, thank you, Cindy. Are you from New Orleans?
I'm actually from Long Island.
Wow.
And I went to undergrad here, and then, you know,
you had to leave for a while.
Well, I just started in January. I actually just applied after the hurricane. I just felt so compelled to come back.
Oh, wow. How are things going there?
Oh, it's pretty much, you know, the uptown area, the university area is back to normal. And then you go into certain parts of the city and you don't even recognize them.
Wow.
But,
do you have any sense of how things are going to change there after all that?
Huh. There's been a big Latinization of the city.
Latinization.
Mm-hmm.
How interesting.
Because the workers who come in, you know, and they historically tend to stay, so.
Sí, pero.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, if you're ever going to try and convince people that you speak Spanish, all you have to say is sí and pero, which means yes, but. So you just go,
and take
sí,
a long pause.
Pero.
No. I took my high school Spanish. I'm all right.
All right. Great. Well, Cindy, thanks for the call. We
that
appreciate
was very
it.
Interesting.
Very
Thank
interesting.
You very much.
Good luck
si.
In school.
Thank you.
Pero,
let's take si. Denise, who's 30. Denise, what's up there?
Hola. Hi.
Hey.
I have a question.
Si.
I've been happily married. I've been married about 5-6 years. And the one thing I have is I have multiple orgasms, dozens of orgasms with every time I have sex, so I guess I'm in that kind of special category that
yes, the talent category.
I'm very fortunate. I mean, it hasn't always been that way. I mean, it's certainly part of, you know.
Is it on your resume?
A great relationship. I don't go talking about it, but
hold on a second. It's not always been that way.
I mean, out of the people I've been with, you know, there was parts of my relationships that didn't have that. So it certainly is what I think.
And but you've always been able to have orgasm with intercourse, is that correct?
In my early years of having relationships, I was, and then for a couple of years, I couldn't have any. And
what was happening? Why was that?
It was more of a kind of an emotional, you know, kind of mental turn off. And it was, you know, just not connecting with the partners, you know, and just not having the real fulfilling relationship. And now I have more than I could ever dream of. So I'm.
And is there something, again, people always wonder if there's something mechanically they can do or how they can convert somebody to being more like you. If, let's say, someone is able to have orgasm with intercourse, how they could sort of step it up. Is there anything you've sort of found?
I mean, I'm incredibly lucky. I found, you know, my best friend and most incredible partner and someone.
No, I get the interpersonal part and the emotional part. Is there something else that's going on here sort of mechanically, though?
Mechanically, I know I haven't come up with anything. I think it's much more of kind of
emotional.
Mentally, I'm, you know, that's what I want. You know,
You're into it.
I'm aware of it. I'm committed. So it's very mental and very emotional. And with others, I haven't had both of that at the same time with physical.
Very good. So, and what's your question?
So, I mean, I've been married for many years, and this has been always the case. And it certainly does make it really incredible for me, but I always do worry that with my husband, I mean, it definitely is a little bit more challenging for him because, I mean, we're talking, you know, possibly like 24 orgasms, and I lose count after that. I mean, it's just a constant.
Why is that challenging for him? He makes him feel like King Kong.
Well, I mean, it does create kind of an ocean of ocean there, and so that certainly can create an interesting environment.
Be a problem for one of you guys?
What's that?
She loses count at 24. You're gonna like,
a problem.
Not a problem. PJ.
He certainly is thrilled that I'm so happy. But you know,
I mean, he's not in any danger of like drowning or being washed away.
Negligent manslaughter. I mean, that could be.
I have a question. How do you not have sex constantly?
We have a 4-year-old.
Okay.
But women like
I would quit my job.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, we also, you know, have to work. We have a 4-year-old. That's pretty much, you know, the to slow down. But what, you know, I mean, it makes it an ocean in there, and it does, you know, create not.
Is he having trouble having an orgasm himself?
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
He is?
Yeah.
He's having trouble climaxing?
Yeah.
Is it distracting?
It's very distracting. I mean, he's very into making me happy, but at the same time, just...
Can you hold yourself back and, like, not have two dozen instead?
Can you fake
just have,
a
like,
not
seven?
Orgasm?
I try really hard.
Is he like, cracking up? I mean, what's sort of distracting?
No,
you know what I mean?
No. He just, you know, I get more pleasure, some of it, sometimes that more than he does. And
I understand, but he's not having an orgasm. Why? What is it? What do you mean distracted? Was he just, like, giggling to himself?
Are you, like, screaming all
the
time?
Boy, I'm great, or...
The friction when there's just so much.
No, Denise, stop thinking about that. That's not a big issue.
That's not it.
Yeah, that's not it. But what is it? Yes, we're trying to figure out.
No, I mean, that was my feeling, is that, you know, it's just, you know, there's so much liquid in there that it definitely does take away from.
No, that's not it's not an issue.
If there were an issue, there's a million and one things you could do about that. You know, I mean, there's, you know, all kinds of things.
That's not a problem. Yeah. Trust me.
So you don't ask him. Why don't you talk to him? Is he there?
Yeah, he's here.
Put him on.
Bring it with Dr.
Okay, hold on.
We'll straighten him out.
Hold on.
Come here, buddy.
Brian, you take the
no,
lead on
not
this.
Not willing. Not willing.
Oh, he's not willing.
Come on. Come on, big fighter. You know, I talked about putting a pencil in my butt when I was 11.
You can do it.
This is Loveline.
Such a pussy. These are the stars of The Office. Okay. Please, she's
please,
saying.
Come on.
Please. You pansy.
Hold on.
There you come. He's coming.
Hold on, speaker. Hold on.
Oh, speaker.
There you go. Are you there?
We're here. Are you there?
Yes.
And what's Denise's husband's name?
Unacceptable.
Avery.
Okay.
Hey, Avery. What's up? So what's going on?
Yeah.
You're on with Rain Wilson, BJ Novak. And Rain's going to take the lead.
So it seems that maybe your wife is concerned that you're not orgasming enough or quickly enough, or maybe you have a problem orgasming. And what's going on with that? Is it all the water?
Yeah, she gets pretty wet down there.
Sure, but is that an issue for you? Is that a problem?
Sometimes it does.
You like slip and slide or something like that? Or?
There's not enough
traction.
Friction.
Well, why don't you get there? Are all kinds of. But there's all these devices now. These vibrating rings and this and that. Why don't you get?
But
something?
If you shift positions too, isn't it like? You know, you might be in one position and it's like, oh, I'm not getting any traction here, but I just like kind of move things around a little bit and like adjust myself, you know, like twister, then, you know, you can
get it
going.
You
know what
again.
I mean? You just got to feel your way through there, buddy.
I mean, to tell you the truth, I don't have a problem with any of this. I think she's just trying to find out why she orgasms so much.
All right. Well, that's okay. Frankly,
you're doing great, Avery.
Yeah, thank you. We were bewildered what the problem would be. Yeah, we're like, what is a problem? That
she's just
be.
Calling to brag is what's going on.
Right.
Yeah. Or, I mean, it's a very odd thing, and I've never heard of anyone else, but I certainly
having
I
multiple
out of it, and I just having sure it's equal and.
No, listen. No. All right. Avery, you back me up on this. This is Dr. Drew talking. That there are women that can have dozens and dozens of orgasm with every session. And they can do it in a relatively short period of time. They will have just one right after the other as though, like, every 15 seconds or 20 seconds. And they will basically have them until exhaustion. And that's when they stop having sex. For a guy, he will feel like King Kong. He will figure out a way to time it so he can be, you know, there with you at your exhaustion point.
Legendary lover,
but,
King
but
Kong.
BJ literally jumped out of his seat here when when he asked you why you even work. Why you just don't stay home all the time.
what's weird for me is I actually have kind of double play. I have waves afterwards that are just as intense as the orgasm.
Oh,
God. There's something.
No, BJ. I get a replay, and I mean, it's a very weird thing because it lasts. You know.
Yeah, I'm going to give BJ a little piece of literature here. Yeah, no. This is going to make a little pamphlet about the syndrome. But that's okay, too. But it can actually be unpleasant. Some women.
Yeah, I would see how this thing pans out. What I would focus more on this.
What?
The whole multiple orgasm side of your life.
No, the excess, the persistent orgasm thing is, I'm looking for a piece. It's called persistent sexual arousal syndrome.
The waves, which is basically like a replay of what just happened during sex. So I can be having... It is the same time, but it definitely, you know, lasts a long time for me. And it's just as intense.
Have you had an orgasm since we've been talking on the radio?
I won't say that.
Oh my God.
Have you ever faked a not orgasm?
No, because she starts right away. Oh. What I find most unusual, though, about you, Denise, is that this is something that developed late in the game. Because most women that have this talent, shall we call it, it's from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like I said before, I mean, I think it's from being kind of mentally.
No, I heard you. Here it is.
In a great relationship, so.
What is this? Here,
that's great.
This is BJ. This is
you guys
article.
Sound like a nice couple.
BJ's going to read the title of this
happy,
article.
But I mean.
Hang in there, Denise.
Persistent right. Sexual arousal syndrome in women.
There you go.
By Dr.
You
want to
read
Sandra?
That?
Yeah. I'll read. Rain, you take the calls.
You can take this home.
All right.
You.
Let's go. Next caller. Let's okay. go.
All right. So
keep it rolling, Dr. Drew. Let's
all right.
go.
This is.
Come on. Who are we with here? What do we got? What do you got for me? I got this whole show figured out.
Jeff, 30. Jeff.
Hi. Yeah, just one quick thing, Dr. Drew. You said that, like, with The Office, that, you know, things that happen on The Office will start taking off. When you guys did that thing last week, of smells like Up Dog and the whole What's Up Dog, I started thinking, man, people are going to start saying that in their offices all the time. Like,
I absolutely
those little
agree.
Things to take off.
It's just, it's so relatable. That's why I don't like the British version, because this is so specific to things that people experience here in this country. Everyone can relate to this.
Right.
Yeah, totally. I want to ask a quick question about the British thing, but one more comment. Like, one of the, just the coolest things about the show is, like, the subtleties and the nuance, you know, and, like, the little quotes you remember. I was thinking about this one, BJ, with when you did the whole Agent Michael Scarn thing, and with when you were the, what was it called? You were, like, the helper of Michael Scarn.
Oh, yeah,
Samuel L. Chang. The Asian African-American sidkick.
You know, that whole thing. That was just great. But anyway, my question is about the British version. I guess it could probably be answered had I seen the British version, but I never have. I'm curious, like, do you guys try to stay close to it or try to do it differently or, you know, a little bit of both?
Well, our pilot was basically very similar to the English pilot. I don't know why they made that choice. Did you ever talk to Greg about that?
No, it was a different creature altogether, though. It was just
the British show.
The first pilot. No, the pilot. You know, it was
The British show is so British.
It's very British.
Yes, and that's what's different, and that makes it very different.
But right after the pilot, all of our episodes have been completely different, and as the show's been going on, I think it's been finding its voice more and more.
And also, the people getting attached to, and you guys are fleshing out the characters, so it's becoming its own thing based on those characters.
The other thing about the English show is it's commercial-free, BBC. It's 30 minutes long. You know, ours...
As opposed to 22?
As opposed to 21:30. Our shows are 21:30. We have to tell
gotta
a story
tight.
Arc or three story arcs over a 21
because there has to be a 30-second you need to know in there.
And there's got to be act breaks because of commercials, so that changes the whole feel of it. And then we really wanted to make it American.
Well, so, as a fan of the show, I can tell you, I personally, way better, way better. Okay, the phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. That is Rainn Wilson and BJ Novak of The Office, Thursday, 9:30, NBC.
We need to get you on the show, Dr. Drew.
I would kill to do that. It would be a thrill and a half. Even if I was sitting there
cutting,
punching paper holes or something.
Oh, my God. It's going to happen.
I would, or Googling on websites would be the best thing I'd ever done. Okay, call in. I'll see you guys on The Office. You can check it out Thursday, 9:30, next season. And we'll be right back.
The phone number for Loveline is 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline, I'll be right back.
Loveline. I'm just sitting here with Rain and BJ reminiscing about the East and talking about the persistent sexual arousal syndrome in women. Rain and BJ can't seem to get enough of that article.
No.
I've got an article here from sort of a throwaway magazine, a medical magazine about women's issues, and I yanked this one article about, why don't you read what it says?
The case involved a 22-year-old single woman who had lost her job as a result of an intense need to masturbate frequently during the 3 to 4 days prior to menses. She felt the need to masturbate in the lavatory at work up to 12 times daily, in addition to sessions at home and even in the car going to work.
Now, mind
that's
you,
what I'm talking about.
That's about 9 pages into this article, but BJ zeroed right in on that.
That girl called in. I mean, a girl with the exact same thing going on
two
weeks ago.
Yeah, that's why Dr. Drew referred me.
And then we had Denise here, who was multi orgasmic and had then persistent arousal
afterwards.
What
if there was a self-help group for women like that? What would that be like?
If you had like 20 women, we had that problem sitting focus. Around.
If anybody would meet Rain or BJ, they'd find them stalking outside that very room.
Mrs. B was a healthy 81-year-old woman.
Oh, no, no. Come on.
I'll let you imagine the rest. She was married to her third husband, a 91-year-old man.
Oh,
lucky she was referred
guy.
For psychosexual evaluation after consulting a number of physicians for the unrelenting feelings of sexual arousal that plagued her. That's sad.
Yes, yes.
Poor
sad.
Me.
Sad, just like that dream you had with the girl riding the bike and
yes,
the big rear end.
Yes, behind. Yeah.
That's an image that's going to stay with me, I'm afraid.
Brenda.
Natalie, 19.
Hi. I had a question about something that happened to me when I was younger. When I was 15, I was date raped several times by the same people, and I was.
Hold, slow down. Date rape is something that sort of happens once. What do you mean it happens several times? That already becomes sort of a different bird at that point.
Well, I was having drug problems then.
Okay, got it. And there were several people that engaged in this?
Yeah, it was like a train job.
All right, so that's rape. We'll just call it flat-out rape. Okay, go ahead.
And I thought that because I was intoxicated that I didn't suffer any trauma because I have very few memories of it. But lately, I've been experiencing with my boyfriend, I think it's called vaginismus.
Vaginismus is, you guys are learning lots of things tonight.
Yeah,
this
we
will
are.
Be fuel. We'll see some of these words in the office the next couple of
Vagina comes up more than you'd think.
Well, now you can switch.
Anyway.
Bring all the way to vaginismus.
Thank you, Greg Daniels.
Which is a spasm of the musculature. It's pain with initiation of intercourse, basically. And it's primarily caused by a clamping down of the muscles in that area. So it can be difficult to have sex because of the pain. Is that what you're having?
Yeah, it's like I feel kind of traumatized inside just at the beginning of our sexual encounter, and then it's like it just closes up.
Well, Natalie, here's my concern, is that can be, if that can be a secondary phenomenon also. In other words, if you have a bad vaginal infection or herpes or something else going on in there, when you try to have him enter and it stirs up all that sort of discomfort, then there can be a secondary muscular spasm. So you must get a pelvic exam. Have you had one?
Yeah, and I didn't tell the doctor about it, and,
Go back and talk about it again, and here's my other concern that sort of would fit with all this. The fact that you were raped at 15 and, you know, train and whatever, and you probably didn't do anything about this, right? You didn't prosecute these guys?
No, I didn't. Okay. I was too afraid.
All that kind of suggests that you were sexually abused as a kid. Is that true?
No, actually, I wasn't, but,
at all? You're sure?
Well, actually, I'm not sure.
Do you ever have dreams about that or concerns that might have happened?
Concerns, yes, but not any memory.
All right. So it just sort of adds up to that. Now, the fact that you were addicted and all, that certainly addicts get raped and they don't do anything about it because they're so badly addicted. That doesn't have to mean sexual abuse, but it would sort of fit with this story in that now you're having sort of post-traumatic stress symptoms and vaginismus has resurfaced. So I would advise that you go back, talk to the doctor about it, make sure they evaluate you with a pelvic exam with an eye towards making sure this isn't something that's secondarily causing muscle spasm. Sometimes they haven't even sort of graduated cylinders they give these women to sort of help them kind of relax and open up.
What happens during
and then there's
oral
sex? The trauma issues. Well, let's ask her. Natalie?
What happens with oral sex with you?
Generally,
able to be all loosey? Are you loosey-goosey then?
Not really. Lately, I can't really even orgasm. I just don't feel like having sex. I get a feeling of intrusion.
Right. It's all those post-traumatic stress symptoms. And that again, when after the doctor fully evaluates you, then check out whether some other treatments that might be available for you.
What's it called? Vaginism?
Vaginismus.
That's like a Roman senator's name.
Yes. Yes,
I am. All hail vaginismus.
Senator Vaginismus, what have you to say? James, 15.
Hello?
James, are you there?
Hello?
Hey, James, what's happening?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Like
it's calling from your hometown.
What's that?
Seattle.
Seattle.
Seahawks. Yeah.
Seahawks?
Yeah. I think they might win.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, anyways.
What, Anderson, what? Hold on, James.
It's just go Steelers. I mean, the whole nation, you're pissing them off by saying that. Like 90% of the entire nation wants the Steelers. So just like, let's go.
Which is ridiculous. The Hawks haven't won anything. The Steelers had their chance in the 70s.
You can't be unanimous before a Super Bowl. It wouldn't be any fun.
I'm just talking ratings-wise. We should go, you know, go Steelers.
Just the fact that, don't you have sort of a contrarian streak in you, Anderson? Doesn't that immediately make you want to say go Seahawks?
I know. That's why it's tough.
Yeah. James, what's up?
All right. When I was 12, I got kicked in the penis really hard. And I haven't got an erection since then, and I was wondering what that is and what can I do.
Were you kicked in the penis or in the testicles?
Well, both, really, because, I mean, right
there. Did they swell up, or was there any bruising or anything afterwards?
A little bit, but it was mostly in the penis because he didn't really get full shot on the balls.
There can be tearing, and that's not a, you know, it's not made of titanium, you know what I mean? Things can tear in the inside. As a result, the erectile function can be affected. James, you absolutely must go see a doctor called a urologist. That's something that would be... I did a piece for Discovery Health Channel on a guy that broke his penis. It was good times. He sort of was going at his wife, and he pulled out and missed going back in.
Oh, no.
And they heard this huge crack.
Oh, a crack?
Oh, wow.
And then purple and swelling all through the area.
Oh, man.
He went and had it all repaired. He'd actually... Let me get you. Where's my anatomy book?
No, that's okay.
Oh,
that's
we don't
fine.
Need to see that.
I will
we
go
don't
back to the women with
give me
the
anatomy book. Give me the anatomy book. Yeah, with the sexual arousal material. I'll get that. We'll get that out.
Poor
sorry.
Guy.
This is Mary, 26. Mary?
Yes.
What's up?
Nothing.
You're on with Rain Wilson and BJ Novak from The Office.
Oh, hi. All right. My question is, I have this issue with relationships, and I just wanted to know if, I wouldn't say normal is the word, but I feel like I should be, like, settling down. And I have several, I mean, I'm not sleeping with them, per se, but just, like, several guys.
Today, Junior!
Well, yeah, we're missing the point, Mary. What is it you're trying to say to us?
I just want to know.
That's it.
I just want to know if that's, like, normal, if I should be, like, looking to settle down, or if that's, like...
What actually are you doing?
Basically,
we don't know you, Mary. You got to describe what's happening here.
It sounds like you're sleeping with a bunch of guys.
No, I'm not, actually.
You're dating a bunch of guys?
Yes.
How many?
Like six. 12.
Six guys. And how many of them are you sleeping with?
None.
Okay. Well, I mean, that could be fun, right?
Yeah, but...
Liar, whore, and you know it!
Are you a virgin?
No. I'm not.
Are you trying to avoid intimacy by keeping all these guys on the line?
I think so.
All right. Why is that?
I think because I was hurt before and now... Okay.
Hold on a second, Mary. I've got to show these guys.
Mary's got diagrams of penises here.
Anatomy.
We've got to get to the important business.
Hang on here.
Love line.
So this is... Come on, PJ. Come on. You're a writer. You have to be exposed.
Oh, my God.
This is what... These are what swell up during erection.
It's so veiny.
This is just a urethra. This is what the pee comes down.
Right.
And these things can rip. You can rip right across there.
Am I supposed to be that big?
This is what's outside the body here. In your case, it's this.
Thank
goodness. And this is all inside, so...
That's enormous.
We're all good now? We're all understanding everything? Okay. All right, so, Mary, tell us about the problem when you were hurt.
It was just a guy who had lied to me about a lot of situations that he was in. And
how old were you?
It was just, like, a couple of years ago.
And how long were you with him?
For about a year.
And what did he lie to you about?
Being married.
Oh, he was married?
Yeah.
Now... What now? I always ask myself, what is up with Mary that she would be attracted to an a-hole like that? Was your dad sort of an idiot?
No, my dad is very, very, very intelligent and has never once laid a hand on me. Or and my parents are still together, and so I'm starting to think that there's something wrong with me.
No. Maybe. Hey, listen, things are random sometimes. Sometimes it's just bad luck. I mean, this could be just that you're attracted to a guy that lets you down, a bad guy, and naturally enough, you'd want to protect yourself for a while after that. And now you're trying to figure out why you can't get out of that cycle. Well, you know, it's obvious what put you in.
How old are you, Mary?
26.
26.
Yeah.
I missed that.
And so I'm having, like, all this pressure because I have a bunch of friends that are getting married this year, and...
Oh, bumpy. That's ridiculous.
Can I just say a little something about therapy, Dr. Drew?
Yes, sir.
As someone who's been in therapy for years and years, there's like the stigma against therapy, you know, in our culture,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
No, that's shifting a little bit.
Yes.
But there's this stigma, and it's...
But part of it, people don't understand it. They don't have any idea what it is or what it does or what it's about.
Right.
So it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
And talking about feelings can be scary,
but they think they're embarrassed by it. Only crazy people do that. Right. Or it should be part of life. I think it should be part of life.
I put a pencil in my butt when I was 11, and I've been in therapy for years.
That's all it takes.
Not necessarily connected. My point is this. Someone once said this, and I thought it was a really good thing to say, which
was... It
was
me.
No. You know, you spend, how many hours a week do you spend, like, at the gym?
Exactly.
How many hours a week do you spend taking care of your physical body?
Exactly.
Like, people think nothing about spending, like, I do 12 hours a week.
Yes.
A little on my delts.
Yes.
You know, what's the harm spending 1 hour a week or 1 hour every other week dealing with what? Your feelings, your patterns of behavior, your thoughts, your family issues, just, you know, who you are in the world.
Delts.
No. Will you come in here every night and just say that again?
I will.
I just want a little.
It's not a big deal. We need a public service announcement with rain on it. It's not a big deal. So you have concerns about yourself and relationships, and you've been hurt, and you've fears about intimacy, and wondering if you're going to find a life partner. And I say, get yourself a nice therapist and just spend some time getting to know yourself.
And what therapy really does
is a problem that I'm more into myself than I am into any of these guys.
No.
More about
you're young.
No,
you're 26. I know you're feeling old, but you're young. And the deal is, in a therapeutic relationship, you learn to explore who you are in a relationship. You actually, a good therapist will actually bring you into intimate contact with another human, namely the therapist, and help you learn to regulate and explore what it means to be in a relationship. And so you'll be able to go out there and attract and be attracted by healthier people and healthier situations. This is Adam, 24.
How's it going, Dr. Drew?
What's good, Adam? What's up?
Hey, I just want to call. I just want to tell Rain and BJ that I'm a lifelong Seinfeld fan. I just want to let you guys know that your show it rivals Seinfeld. And
wow, that's really cool. Thank you.
Awesome show. I just want
really
to say keep on keeping on, and I'm a huge fan. So
I guess that makes me Kramer, though.
Way to go, Adam. Thank you.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, I was listening to some sort of a documentary, something. They had maybe a retrospective on Seinfeld, and they had.
Michael Richards?
No, they had Seinfeld and the guy that's
Vaginitis,
Larry David.
Larry David on, and they were talking about how they were clinging for many episodes for a long time.
Yeah.
And so similar history there. Michael, 24.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
I have a question for Rain.
Yeah.
What was the difference with Rob Zombie versus being on The Office?
Well, say that again.
What's the difference between working with Rob Zombie versus working in The Office?
Yeah, well, I know that it's different, but did Rob Zombie let you improv, or did he just stick?
You know, it's interesting, and I love Rob. He's such an awesome guy. Rob Zombie is like, I did this movie called House of a Thousand Corpses, and in some way, I always like give my props to Rob because he kind of discovered me. Like, he cast me as a lead in his movie.
Is that where it all started?
Not really, because it didn't give me any other work, and no one saw
that. I haven't seen that. I didn't know you were leading that.
It's an awesome
movie. Oh, around here, that's the first thing that comes up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. This, you know, the rock stations, people, say hi to Rob, you know.
But Rob is an awesome dude, and people have to know that he is such a normal, like, funny, smart, talented guy. Like, he's a great artist, musician, writer. Like, he does it all. He's a great guy. And
was his wife on that one with you?
Yeah. Sherry Moon. Was Sherry Moon now? Sherry Zombie. But that was really fun working with him. Yeah, Rob is very collaborative in the same way that people are on The Office, and he's not a real control freak. He is about certain things about his vision, but in terms of acting, you know, he just wants the scene to come to life and have you as the actor, like, you know, breathe some life into it and have fun with it. And so, yeah, we did a fair amount of, like, improvising and stuff like that. We had a great time on that movie.
Okay, Michael, thank you.
He's gone.
This is Violet 17. Violet?
Oh, okay. Number one, Dr. Drew, I love you.
Oh, you're sweet. Yeah, thanks, Violet. Awesome. What's up there?
Office Space Guys, I don't know who you are, but... You guys sounded really nice.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh,
that means so much to both of us.
Thanks.
Okay, my problem is I smoke weed, every single day.
Yeah?
You're kidding me. You don't sound like you smoke weed.
Yeah.
I don't really.
No, you do, Violet. They're being facetious.
Anyways, I know there's, memory loss and stuff.
Really? You would love The Office if you... Never mind. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Well, that's a recommended sort of adjunct to viewing. Get high first.
I'm not recommending behavior. I'm just saying
so,
if...
Violet, here's the deal with... You have questions about what you're doing to yourself, right?
Uh-huh.
You have questions about what you're doing to yourself with the pot?
Yeah, I have another one after that, too, though.
Go ahead. What's your other one? What's your other one?
All right. Like, I have humongous boobs, and they gave me, like, really back problems because I have, like... You know how you're supposed to have 12 vertebrae?
So you smoke medical marijuana to correct your boob pain?
No. I have 13 boob vertebrae back pain. In my back. Yeah, and my boobs are, like, humongous. And I was wondering if I should... If it would be safe to get a breast reduction...
Bouncy.
Yes, at 18, a lot of surgeons would go ahead and do that if you're having the problem with the posture and deep bra strap boob and a lot of back pain, that sort of thing. I think
weed make it worse?
Weed will not. Well, it can make back pain worse. It sure can sometimes. Here's the deal with pot, is that it tends to, at your age, block some of the development of the parts of the brain you're supposed to be using during development. You just, as opposed to sort of learning to manage and cope with growing up, you just get high. And that becomes your way of managing.
Can I talk about pot for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Can I talk about enormous breasts when you're done?
This is, Rainn Wilson. I'm a minor television celebrity. I got something to say about pot. You know, I got a lot of friends that smoke pot regularly and knew, of course, a lot of people that smoke pot regularly. And, you know, I'm sorry, I got to say... that there's something that they just emotionally, they don't progress.
Mm-hmm.
They just stay in the same place.
Right.
So all of you long-term daily pot smokers out there, you know what? It's fine. It's not going to kill you, whatever. But you know what? If you want to, like, grow up and get a life, eventually you got to put the weed down because it just keeps you kind of emotionally arrested at when you start smoking the pot because it doesn't allow you to deal with your feelings, with your emotions.
They've actually shown that certain parts of the frontal lobe don't grow, literally. They don't develop normally. Also, when you smoke it long enough, and what long enough is extremely hard to predict, you'll eventually start getting paranoia and depression and panic attacks. Pretty much everybody that smokes pot will get that eventually.
Okay, now let's talk about boobs.
Okay, go ahead.
BJ, go.
Go ahead.
No, I'm good, actually.
Okay. All right, let's take a break then. We'll talk about boobs off the air.
Great.
Because I know, you know, it's BJ. Mm-hmm. I mean. Okay, it's 1-800-LOVE-191. Violet, you're not likely to stop using the pot without treatment. So I would sort of urge you to see someone who's used to dealing with addiction. I treat marijuana addiction all the time. It's a very difficult one to treat. There's a withdrawal syndrome. There's a lot of depression. There's, in fact, a lot of suicide when people stop using pot. And you don't sound exactly not depressed now. So look into this. 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm here with BJ Novak and Rainn Wilson. They are Ryan and Dwight. Not necessarily that order, but you know them from the show. You've got Rainn coming up and Super Ex-Girlfriend. And you also heard that you can see him in House of 1,000 Corpses with Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Rob Zombie's wife. And look for BJ at the Improv coming up. Also, he wrote, in some cities, you're actually going to be hearing this tomorrow night. So it's actually tonight's episode of The Office.
But you can get it on your iPod at any point.
Is it February 2nd today?
It's the first.
So it's February 2nd's episode of... Oh, you can get it on the iPod.
Yeah.
Really?
Called Boys and Girls. You get it next day.
Get it on your free video iPod. $1.99.
Watch it if you can.
That is going to change everything. I was in Atlanta this morning, and they have a candy dispensing machine with iPods.
Nice.
Yes. And then headset. And it's crazy.
Does it take coins?
Credit cards. Your credit card. All right. We'll be right back.
Hello? Who is this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
I just wish you guys had the view that I do. I'm watching Rainn do the robot to this music. It's awesome. And then BJ kind of looking embarrassed.
Not at all.
It's 1-800-LOVE-191. Did you get enough of the breast talk during the break there?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, we're okay. And Rainn, did anything you need to talk about? The pencil in the ass we're good with?
I'm good, Dr. Okay. Drew. Let's go to some calls.
All right, let's do that. Let's see. This is Russell, 16.
Hi.
Hey, buddy, what's happening?
Well, I have wet dreams like every other night, and it's really bothering me, and I was wondering if there's anything you can do to help. Or anything, like any medication or
Russell, I have to tell you, although you sound sincere, it immediately sounds like a bogus call. The question sounds bogus. So, can we... there, he hung up. You know why that's bogus?
Why?
Because a guy that... he hung up on us because it is bogus. Anderson, do you know why I called that as bogus?
Because his voice was quivering and
no,
it just tasted bogus. And
it tasted,
to know, there was nothing, no real question there.
No question, but any young male I've spoken to who's having that problem is celebrating. And what they tend to do is just pick up their masturbatory schedule automatically and things kind of, you know.
Yeah, I could cut so much time out of my day.
Yeah,
I want to know because I never had one, so.
Maria, just stop masturbating so much, Anderson. You believe me, you'll have one. And Maria, 22.
I haven't beat off in like 3 weeks, honestly. I don't have to.
Oh, I see.
Nice.
Yeah, it's Mr. Sexually Active.
I got 5 boyfriends, yeah.
Maria, 22, what's up?
Hello?
Hey, Maria, what's on?
Hi.
What's going on?
Hey.
Hi, how are you? I'm calling because I have been, you know, breaking up with my boyfriend basically for the past week. And he won't take basically no for an answer. He's begging for me back, and I won't get back together with him. I'm just sick of it. We've been together for about a year. So he's threatening to post new pictures of me on MySpace. And
I want our attorney from Tulane to call back because that must be illegal.
What is the MySpace address?
What's the address?
Where's he going to
put
the MySpace?
So I was just wondering if there's
seriously, what is it?
Besides stealing his computer, what could I do about it for him to for him to like not post that? It's very invading, intrusive.
I'd hire an attorney. Seriously, I imagine there are things you can do. Maybe call Legal Aid Society if you can't afford anything. And Anderson, why do you want the address? Aside from the office.
I can see your naked pictures.
Yeah, okay, all right. I thought there was something altruistic
in mind. Why would she let this guy take pictures of her anyways? This should be like a lesson to all women out there.
No, there's pictures that he took by opening up my shower door and snapping them of me.
Mm-hmm. Is that why you're breaking up with him?
No, than that. It's other reasons besides
this
that.
This guy sounds like a total a-hole. Thank God
he's
you're getting rid of him.
You know what? Don't talk to him anymore.
Yeah.
Don't communicate with him. No emails.
No nothing.
Send him one email. Say, if you put my pictures on the internet,
you'll be hearing from my attorney.
You're going to be hearing from my lawyer because my dad's cousin's a lawyer. Don't ever contact me again. And don't take his calls and don't take
And I would even think of maybe calling the police ahead of time.
That's
maybe
what I was
even...
wondering. Were the police able to do anything like that?
I don't know. I would imagine there's something. There's some recourse you can give them. But certainly put him on notice that you're done with this.
You send the pictures over here.
Steve, 24.
Hey, what's going on?
Go on, Steve.
What's up?
All right. Get right to the point. Just kind of curious. I mean, back even when I was 18 and everything like that, whether I was with a girl and we got to the point where we weren't using protection, she was on the pill, and I would actually, I'm not sure if I could say this, so I'll just go use the medical term, I would actually ejaculate inside her, and it almost led to like a yeast infection. And
what do you mean almost? What do you mean almost led to a yeast infection? What does that mean?
I'm not sure. I'm not the one diagnosing it to the point where, I mean, she went and got treated or whatever, or she'd buy the stuff over the counter, the Monistat or whatever.
All right, so here's the deal. We have just a few seconds here, but anything that changes the sort of flora and fauna of the vagina can result in a vaginitis or a yeast infection. And there may be something about the pH or God knows what in your semen that sort of upsets the environment in there in some way. It's not unheard of. If women get that, they should be checked out to make sure there isn't a bacterial infection. But some men, just by introducing themselves, can bring on a yeast infection.
Literally by introducing themselves?
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi,
how are you? Pow, get that Monistat. All right, we got to take another break. We'll be right back.
Hello? Who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Excuse me. Hopefully, I have a voice tomorrow night when we have Alex Borstein. You know her as Lois from The Family Guy and Miss Swan from Mad TV. That about does it for Loveline tonight. Rain, BJ, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
You guys are welcome back anytime. Congratulations on all the success.
Thanks.
And I hope to see you soon here, and I hope to see you soon walking through your set. That's all I want
to
do.
We hope to have you on our show soon.
That would be awesome. I would love that. Thank you very much. So, guys, tomorrow night again, Alex Borstein. Until then, this is Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well.
Have you ever faked a not orgasm?
This has been Loveline. Loveline.
opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.